And Sam Rachofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And, you know, okay, you know how it is when you have a dog and the dog's mad at you? And, well, I don't want to get graphic, but the dog, I'm not saying my dog does this, but the dog maybe will leave a little present for you somewhere in the house. You know, you look behind the couch and there is a little dropping, a little nugget of joy for you to discover, to clean up. And your dog's looking at you going, yeah, that's right. I did that. I put it there. That is exactly what it's like going to be for Trump and the Trump administration when they get to the White House. They're going to find little droppings everywhere, legislatively and policy-wise, that Obama has left behind for him to clean up. And this UN resolution, and if this is just one in the latest of delightful little presents that President Obama is leaving his successor. Now, by the way, it happened right before Christmas. Just a brief note on what this whole thing is. It has to do with Israel. It has to do with the peace process. You know, if you're like me, you've grown up your whole life hearing about the peace process. You know, you got Palestine, you got Israel. They don't like each other. Every president that I can remember in my lifetime was bringing the two sides together, getting them to, you know, meet at Camp David or wherever and smoke the peace pipe and get along. And the result in the end was and is nothing. That's right, nothing. Zero. It's not happening. And I'll tell you why. But first, here's what happened with the vote. So there's the UN, by the way, the UN has a 15-member Security Council, and they're the ones that decide all the important stuff. And we are one of five seats on that Security Council that has a veto, meaning we, if there's anything that comes up in that Security Council, we can say no to it. And it goes away. In other words, we can overrule, we can cancel out the 14 other voices, the four other permanent members, and then the remainder of the people that kind of cycle through there in separate terms. We can overrule them, which is why nothing gets done in the UN. Because the same veto power is held by Russia, the same veto power is held by China. And so we just, if there's something that either one of those big superpowers doesn't like, they just can cut it. They wipe it away. Done. And trust me, China and Russia use that veto to protect their interests. So it's an interesting thing why we did not do that this time. I've heard a lot of talk about it being of, well, they just they didn't veto it. They didn't vote for it. They just abstained. And that's exactly what we did. And we didn't veto the vote. We didn't vote for this horrible resolution that condemns Israel for occupying the West Bank. But what we did instead is we just kind of folded our arms. You know, we folded our arms and voted present, which is what Obama did when he was in the Senate. Remember that? Always vote present. Didn't want to get on either side of the issue. But in this case, it's not the same thing. An abstention is a vote for, because we traditionally have been the country that protects Israel from all this rabid anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BS that comes out of the UN. And the UN is basically a nest. It is a cave, a dwelling, whatever adjective, whatever noun you want to use there. It is a terrible place for lots and lots of terrible little despotic countries with huge egos to come and bang their chests and pound their fists, tell everybody how important they are. And most importantly, for all these little insignificant countries that have never been able to successfully oppose Israel militarily. Which I hate to break it to you, snowflakes, but that's what matters. It's not about who you love and who you want to make, because everybody's going to be so nice. No! I'm going to kick your money. And that is exactly, by the way, how Israel got the West Bank to begin with. Nobody remembers any of this history. Remember when Jordan and Egypt and they all decided they were going to gang up on Israel. They're going to sneak attack on him. So 1967. It's the Six-Day War. It's like legend. If you're in the military, you've heard about this. And right as they were moving all their tanks to the border, we're going to get Israel, we're going to get them. Israel went smash and blew them all to smithereens. They fought against two of the biggest militaries in that region and won. And that's how they got the Gaza Strip and how they got the West Bank. Anyway, I mean, spoils of war. You want to get technical? Look at a globe. Every one of those little lines, generally speaking, is a spoil of war. There was some conflict that produced borders, borders that were respected. But no, the UN had to get involved and they had to do all their nonsense. And so here we are. And here's what when I told you, I said there's no way there's going to be peace with Palestine, with the Palestinians, peace in the Middle East, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know why? Because they don't want peace. This is the dirty secret that nobody wants to acknowledge. The Palestinians want no part of peace because the entire Palestinian state, I don't know, their whole raison d'etre, right? Their reason for being is what? Tomorrow, we're the victims. We're this, we're that, we're victims of Israeli aggression, of Israel. Okay. It's like, would Jesse Jackson want racial equality in America? No, you know that. Why? Because his entire, his whole career, his whole purpose is built on rabble-rousing and agitating and inciting hatred and all that because that's what he derives a direct benefit from. Now, Sam, this is absurd. I mean, you really don't. You're ignorant. You don't understand. Okay, look, I can't. This is radio. I can't go into a whole history of the Middle East for you. But what I can tell you, and this is important. Think of the 20th century. The 20th century was the greatest, and I've said this before, it's the greatest melting pot, whatever you want to call it. It basically, the whole world got turned upside down on its head in the 20th century. Okay? You know, I mean, people got swept here and there, World War I, World War II, the amount of mass migration of people being expelled from their territories in just Europe alone, which I could speak about for hours. Untold. So much of this going on. And this is how all of that relates to this UN resolution, right? This how the UN goes in and wants to, and now it's going to punish Israel and declare all these Israeli settlers that are in the West Bank to be basically law-breaking, you know, squatters in a territory that Israel legitimately captured in the Six-Day War when they were attacked. Why? And it's the rabble-rousing, and this is why I'm bringing up Europe. Yeah, I'm bringing up Europe because there, hey, Poland literally shifted. It just shifted a whole country over. Germans were kicked out of Czechoslovakia. You had, I mean, the Russians, the Ukraine, people moved left, right, up, down. And guess what? They all dealt with it. They resettled, they brushed off, and they dealt with it. But no, not the Palestinians. Nope. They're, you know, those Palestinian camps that everybody shows us pictures of, you know, supposed to pull on our heartstrings and it's terrible and horrible. And of course, any human suffering is horrible. But why doesn't Jordan take them in? Why doesn't Egypt take them in? Why doesn't Lebanon take them in? Huh? Think about that. And this is, I'll tell you, the reason they don't take them in is because they don't want a solution. No solution. They want to agitate against Israel. They do not like a non-Muslim, a Jewish state in the middle of the Middle East. They don't like it. They don't want it. It's not part of their agenda. It's not part of what, in any way, shape, or form, they want geopolitically. Israel is the only country in the Middle East that is, that well, I could say, is most like us. It's a true democracy. And it's been our closest ally in the region, an important strategic ally. And that's not to say that we don't have our differences with Israel. And it's not to say that we don't spy on each other. And it's not to say that we don't have our fair disagreements. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the hornet's nest that is the Middle East, Israel's really the best friend we've got. And from the day one of the Obama presidency, Obama's been hell-bent on just upending years and years and years of tradition and of secure relations with Israel to the benefit of the United States, to the benefit of the U.S. policy, and to the benefit of the Jewish people. And he decided he knew better. Now, of course, no one gave him guff for this, right? No one. I mean, New York Times didn't write about it. They certainly freaked out when Trump took a phone call from the Taiwanese president. That, of course, was the end of the world. I mean, how could that neophyte idiot do that, right? But this, New York Times is silent. So is CNN. NBC, ABC, everybody's quiet about it. But this is such a disastrous message. And, you know, it's meaningless. And it's meaningless because the UN is a silly, stupid organization. And you know that. I mean, if you actually care about anything in the world, I mean, think about all the big things that we've talked about. The Syrian crisis. What has the UN done for that? What have the United Nations done to stop the Syrian crisis? Nothing, right? Darfur, remember the Darfur genocide? Now, that hasn't stopped. The UN couldn't do anything there. That continued and festered on for years. Then do you remember the genocide in Rwanda? I don't want to get too deep into this, but like the movie Hotel Rwanda. You know something interesting? The head of the UN peacekeeping mission knew that he had advanced warning of the first mass genocide that was going to occur there and did nothing. Because he was like, I don't even want to report this to my bosses. I'm just there's nothing they want to do about it. Apathy, stupidity, laziness. Every kind of human mediocrity you could ever imagine is found in the UN. And this would be from the organization whose very reason for existing is to maintain peace and order in the world. I mean, at least that's what their charter says. So, it leaves me scratching my head here. And the other thing, if I could just say this, think of all the effort and energy in this and this condemnation of Israel. Think of all the bad actors in the world. All the bad actors. I mean, you got that crazy guy with the mop top in, North Korea. Yeah, Kim Jong-un. You guys literally, taking people up apart with hatchet saws. Putting people, I think 30% of his country is in labor camps. You got China, who, by the way, is on the Security Council with a veto vote, right? So they are at our level in power at the UN. They're arresting Falun Gong members left and right and harvesting their corneas. That's pretty well established. So you have, and the list goes on. You hear about the Human Rights Commission in the UN, and they've got people like the Zimbabwe, come on. It is a joke. And if you live in New York, if you know anyone that lives in New York, ask them about this. Because the best part is, if you live in New York, you hate the UN. Because they all drive around, they've got their reserved, the special diplomatic plates, they're untouchable, they double park, they flaunt every law, they come there, they live high on the horse, huge amounts of money. And so I'm telling you, here's the thing, when Trump says, when tweets out, the UN's just an organization where people have a good time, he's onto something. I've heard that pan throughout the, every time you're turning on the radio, you're hearing people pan it, right, making fun of it. Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. And the reality is, he's hitting a nerve. And the UN ought to be scared. And this is a relationship that we ought to re-examine. It's important. Because this is not an organ. We host this organization. We spend billions and billions of dollars every year supporting it. We, you and I, taxpayers, spend We support the UN to the tune of, what, 25, 27% of its annual budget? It's an incredible amount of money. Do you think that if, you know, you're paying 25% of somebody's, you know, paycheck that you might get some RESPECT? Is that too much to ask for? And yet Obama goes in there and capitulates and gives everything up and just hands it over because he knows better. And he's leaving that golden little, you know what, that the doggy left for Trump to clean up. So anyway, when we come back, I want to talk about dying celebrities. I'm going to explain to you something interesting. I'll explain to you why so many celebrities have died this year. Yeah, there's a reason for it. I'm serious. Okay, we'll be back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
The holidays are here. The roads are busy and drivers are crazy. If involved in an accident, go to sweetjames.com.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Now, if you're just tuning in, I was having a little bit of fun here just getting on the... Yeah, it's talking about, the UN, that whole UN resolution that passed condemning Israel. And a real poke in the eye to our closest ally in the Middle East. And somebody that, this is probably why it's nice once in a while to have a change in administrations. You know, policies go one way, they go another. But this is something where Obama, by the way, found no real solace even among Democrats. I mean, he's getting roundly criticized by a number of very prominent Democrats, senators, congressmen, Democratic Party activists. In fact, there's one in New York who's just outraged over this. He's an elector, somebody who worked on Hillary Clinton's campaign. So right in Obama's camp, right? Somebody who's been working with the party for years. He was tweeting today all up in a tizzy. I mean, this is not warmly received. And the critical thing here is that it's totally symbolic. So why is Obama doing it? And the answer is twofold. One, Obama hates Netanyahu. It is a personal thing. And in that sense, I think it obliterates the whole idea of Obama being this great guy. Because I think a lot of people I talk to say, Obama's a great guy. He's a good guy. You know, he maybe I disagree with him his policies, but he's a good dude. And that's on that basis, he's won elections. That's how he's perceived. The thing is Obama's a lot smaller of a person than most people realize. It is petty. It is cruel, and it has to do with him not liking Netanyahu. Now, Netanyahu is a tough guy. He's the prime minister of Israel. They've had their differences. But I'll give you one thing to illustrate this. When Netanyahu ran for re-election, Obama used U.S. aid money from the State Department to finance the opposition in that election. Talk about... And now, of course, Obama's the one yelling and screaming about Putin interfering with our elections and the sanctity of our elections. But this was a documented fact. It was reported in the Jerusalem Post. It was reported even in the New York Times picked up the story. It was well established. Your tax dollars spent to fight Bibi Netanyahu so he wouldn't get elected. That's one thing. And the other thing is he just wants to make it. This is a symbolic thing. Obama has not been a friend of Israel, has not been a supporter of Israel. And so this is a symbolic thing. He knows he's handing this doozy of a thing over to Trump. And so he has no real motivations. He's not really motivated to do anything except to create problems for Trump. It really does come down to that. But the final thing here that's fascinating. When you have your friends come to you and they say, well, I think that's a little harsh. The UN means well, and they're not biased against Israel. They just want to correct a wrong where they see a wrong being done. You're going to get that. So here's what you need to tell people. You ready? You got to bust out a little bit of history on them. This most important thing here is that back in 1947, a year before Israel was even created as a state, the UN came along and said, hey, this area, this West Bank area, the one that this whole, you know, this whole measure was about, this whole, it should become a separate Arab state. And do you know what all the Arab states that surrounded it, Jordan and others, all said? They all said, no, we don't want another competing Arab state. And then guess what happened? 1 year later, Jordan annexed it. They just took it over, made it part of Jordan in 1950. And then for the 19 years that Jordan had it, do you think the UN protested it? Do you think the UN said, oh, well, Jordan has the West Bank, it's a problem? Nothing. Not a peep. Nothing. Zero. Crickets. And only when Israel took it, won it in the Six-Day War that they didn't even start, then it became a problem. Now it's a political football, and the UN is running with it up and down the field and having a political field day with it. All right. Good stuff. There it is. So now you know what to tell people, and you get that it's important. Sometimes you just see a headline, and you don't know what the full story is. And that's what I try to get. I try to get a little beyond the headline so you know what's going on. All right, John Wolf is back with the news here in a sec, and we're going to be talking about celebrities and why they're dying left and right. Back after this, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. This is a trigger warning right now. There's a macroaggression that's about to come out. So if you need a moment, if you need to collect yourselves, suck it all in. Here it comes.
Hello? Hello?
Who's calling?
You're calling this number, 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we know the words. We know the words, and it's sad. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Another day. And we've lost another famous, lovable person. Carrie Fisher passed away this morning. And so now everybody's wondering, you know, you see all the pieces, right? Of course, CNN immediately runs to publish about five different articles, all saying basically the same thing about how we're just losing celebrities at an unprecedented rate. No one's blamed Trump for it yet, by the way, that I know of. Or the Russian hackers. They haven't been blamed either. But there's actually a very simple explanation for all this, and you know it. You know this intuitively. Look, the simple answer is there just are so many more celebrities today than there were ever before. And it's actually not unusual that now the great explosion in celebrities occurred some, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And so now these are folks that are passing on. You know, if you go back, not even that far, if you go back in your parents' lifetime, certainly your grandparents' lifetime, and you see what kind of media was available, say before World War II, I mean, you're talking about newspapers, some magazines, literature. You have performers who perform live, and then you had the big, huge invention of that generation. Not of that generation, but what was very popular media-wise in that era was the radio, the wireless. What I'm talking to you on right now. And so you had radio stars, and that was the first ability to reach a lot more people than you could by performing live, right? If you, let's say you go to Carnegie Hall or go to a huge stadium, you go to one of those Trump rallies, how many people can you reach? You know, Trump didn't win the election because he went to rallies and got the 20,000 people that went to the rallies to love him. He connected with people because it was on TV. It was on YouTube. It was on Facebook Live. It was on Twitter. And all the bigger audience was not the one sitting in the stadium, but was the one, you know, at home, on their laptop, on their cell phone, online, looking at it, TV maybe. And the ability to reach more people than ever before. You have a musical group like the Beatles. They come along. You know, Peter Tilden just did a great segment talking about music and the history of music. So this is exactly it. You can reach so many people. You can sell thousands and thousands and thousands of records. And now even more so. Shoot. You don't have to sell records. You just download that stuff on iTunes or Pandora or whatever have you. And now you don't just have, now think about it. When my parents grew up, you had some TV, some, okay? But, you know, in the 70s, how many channels were there? I'm going to ask you rhetorically, how many channels are there now? I don't even know, right? You know, how many channels do you have at home? And this is it. And now there's Netflix and there's Amazon Prime. And there's, I'm not to belabor the point, but there are so many more celebrities. And that's part of the reason. Because if you went back 100 years, there wouldn't have been a Carrie Fisher. There wouldn't have been a George, you know, there wouldn't have been a George Michael. There wouldn't have been, you know, just these stars back then were tougher to develop because they had to draw physical crowds at physical locations performing live, and they touched far fewer lives. The amount of people, when you have someone like Carrie Fisher who creates an iconic movie or a singer whose music is everywhere. I mean, if you've traveled, you're sitting in a cab somewhere in Shanghai, and all of a sudden there's the George Michael song playing on the radio. You can truly touch the globe as a celebrity these days. And so that's why there are just so many more celebrities out there. And naturally, people do pass on, and it seems every year that more and more celebrities pass. All right. There's talk of a visitor from a faraway place coming to the U.S., but not until after January 20th. Oh, of whom do I speak? Stay tuned, and I shall enlighten you. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is James Bergener, reminding you to drive safely this holiday season. If hurt, go to sweetjames.com.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putin on the Ritz.
Or is it Putin on the Ritz? All right, forgive me, I corny joke. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So, now people are really getting nervous because there's this hubbub about Putin saying, hey, yeah, I'd accept an invitation for President Trump to come and visit the U.S. And you would have just thought that, you know, hell froze over. In fact, as this is all going on, now the news du jour being pushed by CNN, best as per usual, is that apparently the Senate has turned against Trump, and it's all because of Russian hacking. Yeah. So, and this was today. So I'll set it up for you here. You know Wolf Blitzer on Situation Room. Yeah. Well, Wolf was out. He was on vacation, and he's got Jim Sciutto in there, and he was asking. You know, he's baiting. He had Senator Graham, and who is it? McCain. He had Graham and McCain, the two dinosaurs of the Senate, the land before time. And these two, I mean, if there's any two people in the Senate, well, you know, you got Mitch McConnell, too. I'm telling you, the Republicans hate Trump more than the Dems do. So Graham and McCain are just seething over Trump, seething about this. And they get lobbed this really softball question by CNN. Well, I'm going to play the question and then a part of Lindsey Graham's answer. Roll the tape.
He's had multiple opportunities, and I do want you to answer, Senator Graham, to both before and after the election to accept that assessment, and yet he's doubled and tripled down on talking about a cozier relationship with Putin, denying the intelligence community's assessment. What are you going to do, Senator Graham and Senator McCain, if he doesn't change his tune?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
There are 100 United States senators. Amy Klobuchar is on this trip with us. She's a Democrat from Minnesota. I would say that 99 of us believe the Russians did this, and we're going to do something about it.
No, you're not. That's the sad truth. Here's the thing. This is so funny because you're going to hear this over and over again. Russian hacking, they have interfered with our elections, and this is us. Bipartisanship. Right? How many times have you heard that word? Bipartisanship. So, it's a turf war. What you're seeing is the establishment of a turf war. It has nothing to do, nothing, with hacking, with Russia, with anything. It's a pissing contest. The Republicans in the Senate, these people, these guys, how long has Lindsey Graham been in this? Wait, forever, okay? I think he was born in there. I think he was literally delivered in the chamber floor. So this guy's there forever. And to him, this is his birthright. Think about it. I've talked about this so many times. Him and McCain, they've put in their time. They started in small town politics, and they had to claw their way up. And this Trump guy just rides in, bam, becomes president. Do you know how galling that has to be for McCain, who actually ran for president and lost? Graham, too. He ran for president primaries, never got any far. How many times? Like 10 times? I bring this up because you have to understand what the motivations are of people. Whenever you watch the news and you listen to people get involved and push into the topics and wade into, you know, murky water, and you think, that sounds reasonable. Always ask yourself, what are their motivations? What are their biases? Yeah, well, that reminds me, you know, like motivations with insurance companies, right? Let's say, you know, well, you're right, if you're negotiating with an insurance company. I'll tell you all about that after the break. We'll talk about Sweet James. But it's true, just like that. But anyway, when it comes to politics, you've got to understand that this is a turf war that's getting set up, and everybody is staking their claim to a little bit of territory. And so the Senate right here is folding their arms, and they are saying, Mr. Trump. We even got a Democrat. We got a Democrat on our side. Like, wow, that's cool. We got a Democrat. There's 99 of us. I think, who are they missing? They're missing they're missing Trump's guy, right? Who? Sessions. Yeah, that's the one guy that's on board with Trump. By the way, the only senator early on who endorsed Trump, and now he's going to be his attorney general. So that's why they're missing one senator from their pack. But you're going to see a lot of tension between the Republican-controlled Senate and, of course, the presidency. And that's a good thing. We want that. Separation of powers. It's a good thing. All right. Well, I have a great Sweet James story to share when we come back. You're going to like this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. If I had a dollar for every tear a lib sheds over money spent on the DOD, Department of Defense, that should be spent on welfare and on healthcare for kids and on, you know, midnight basketball, I mean, I'd be a rich guy. In fact, we could probably solve the drought in California with all those tears. And Sam Rogowski here. Some bad news. I don't know how your Christmases were, by the way. Everybody good? Yeah. Anything crazy happen? Any bad presents? That's always the crazy one, right? I have a friend who told me that he went to his girlfriend's house. First time I think they celebrated Christmas with his girlfriend's family. Yeah, and her dad gave him a bag of almonds. Somebody in our office got a cat backpack. And she was really stoked about it. because she can carry her cat. She has a dog who always goes on walks with her, and the cat apparently was really jealous. So the cat now can go in the backpack. There's a little window, and she first time she did it, the cat just jumped right in and was stoked to go on a little walkabout. And apparently, the cat had his face, you know, glued out, you know, looking out the window. Cat looked like it was on an Apollo mission. Well, anyway, not all cats were happy this Christmas. No, it's true. Did you guys see this about that cat? There's a guy, he's opening up a Christmas present. Happened in Georgia. He's opening up a PlayStation 4? And he starts getting really excited, you know, he gets really animated. And the cat's kind of pacing. This is why I don't like cats. I just cats. Let me tell you. This cat is pacing behind him. And then all of a sudden, the cat just attacks. It was serious. The guy's face is all clawed up and everything. I don't know. Do you have to get stitches? I'm trying to see. But for sure, I mean, you got to get Band-Aids and everything. Bad, bad cat attack. No joke. People always talk about dogs biting you. And maybe, you know, I tell you, in all the years, I talked to Sweet James about this. I mean, how many cat bite calls have you gotten? And he said not that many. And I wonder if it's people and their dignity. I mean, what guy really wants to call up and say, hey, I just got savaged by, you know, a cat? So the truth is, though, he told me I handled a few of these cases and actually got a fair amount of money for people. Cats can hurt you. So if you were opening a gift this Christmas under the tree and your girlfriend's cat, like this was, I think, the girlfriend's cat, your girlfriend's cat attacks you viciously and you're hurt, you got to call Sweet James. And it was a cat. It could have been a kid. It could have been an orangutan, a dog, a car that plows through the house. I mean, accidents happen. And when they do, make sure you're represented and have the right lawyer fighting for you and your rights. And that lawyer is the only lawyer we trust here on the program. It's Sweet James Bergner. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right. So, Sam Nation, we are back. This is true. This cat bite thing really happened. And you could see it. We'll post up the video. We'll put it up on Facebook. Go to our Sam Nation Facebook page and check that out, please. So Christmas, are you personally relieved Christmas is over? Do you have any, like, because I always think that, you know, there's so much excitement. Yeah, I'm pointing to, yeah, you? No? A little bit? Yes. I mean, yeah, my kids loved it. But the worst thing, if you're a parent, okay, you know, and kids, my gosh, I think I didn't get a solid 2 hours of continuous sleep before Christmas that night. My kids were awake. They were kept waking up, going to bed. And then from about 2:30 on, they would wake up probably every 45 minutes. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? And of course, it's so exciting when they're excited. But, you know, you got to just, hey, it's okay. Just calm down. Calm down. And I just was so tired. But I think this is how I'm going to be. Because right now, in case you're wondering, it's 23 days, 1 hour, 2 minutes, and 50 seconds until Obama leaves office. So I think once we get a little closer here, when we're down to the last few hours, I might be waking up a little bit saying, hey, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Because we just have to get to the end without him breaking any more stuff. And if you missed the first part of the show talking about the UN and the little droppings that Obama is leaving for Trump, there are other examples of it. You know, I was reminded, I didn't want to get into it earlier, but do you know Obamacare? Yeah, Obamacare. So, you know, in Obamacare, there are all these provisions. Some of them not good. You know, like, you know how Obamacare insures all those people that wouldn't get insured anywhere because they're expensive, they've got pre-existing conditions. And it was the thing that everybody agreed, yes, 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 it's good. We've got to insure those people because we're humane. We want everybody to have insurance. Well, there's a provision in the act that says that the government picks up the cost for that for the first 3 years, which, conveniently, is until 2017, which, conveniently, is when Obama is out of office. Now, do you think that's an accident? I don't. I think there's a lot of stuff in a lot of these programs that finally we're going to have to start paying the piper for all this nonsense. And Obama conveniently set it up for when he'd be out of office. And I guess now he can blame Trump for everything. But the Trumpster's got to roll up his sleeves. He's got some cleaning up to do. It's not just Obamacare. It's other stuff. And that now add the UN resolution. He's got the whole Middle East up in fire over this. All right. We're off for 2 days. Go Kings, go. And we are back. We are back on Friday, 7 p.m. So look forward to seeing you then. John Wolf up with the news next. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Radio 790
KABC.